תודה רבה, thank you very much. I'm very happy to participate today in the event of Bet Yaakov Sara Daba in Flatbush in Brooklyn, New York. Be'ezrat Hashem, I wish the school atzlacha in the future and to create and build Bet Yaakov, the future of the nation of Am Israel. A few days ago last week I gave a lecture in Mill Basin here speaking about the status of the woman in Judaism. And how do I know if the lecture is good? What happened the next day when it's on the website? If it's a quiet day, it wasn't so, but that one was booming. And I know all the ladies would really love, the men also, but the women would enjoy to listen to this lecture. So go into my website, divineinformation.com. It's on the front page. All the lectures of the last week, usually on the front page. The status of the woman in Judaism. Finally, the time to know the importance of the Jewish woman in the eyes of Hashem. It seems to me that 98 or 99% of the people in the world, men and women, do not know how important is the role of a woman in Judaism. What's her status, the foundation of the house. I know we heard many, many lectures about it, but I promise you, you're going to find some new things over there that you probably never heard before. Tonight, I was instructed to speak about chinuch yeladim, raising children. I have already a few good lectures about it in the website. I would prefer to make questions and answers. Event like this, you should take advantage and ask all the questions you want to know about your situation, about other people that you know. If you don't have questions, I'll force a lecture on you. But if you have questions, it's always better. Maybe I should start 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and then you start with your questions. Please feel free to ask all your questions, even while I'm talking. You can raise your hand, and I'm no problem. I prefer to answer questions. We're living today in days that is the hardest days to raise children in history. Nowhere in history it's been harder than this generation to raise children. One of the reasons is because the world have such a tremendous change in the last 20, 30 years that we started to lose some of the control that was automatically in the hand of every parent for thousands of years. We find today that the children in this generation are much more independent than what they used to be in previous generations. It's true that they are much more childish and they are much more into things that in the previous generation nobody had time to waste on. But at the same time, they're very connected, very independent with all kinds of social networks such as Facebook and internet and emails. They're all connected, they help each other, and unfortunately, sometimes the ones who pay the price are the parents. They educate each other what to do, how to do, and to do certain things that the parents are not exactly delighted that they're doing. Today, some of the things that the Gemara speaks about today, unfortunately, will not apply anymore to the way we raise our children. And let me give one example what I mean. In the previous generation, the boy knew, or the girl, they knew that the father in a house could be very, very strict and even patch sometimes. The Torah say, Chosech shifto sone bno. If your son never got a patch from you, that means you don't love him. You gotta be strict with him. He has to know that you are the authority in the house, and if he plays games, he's going to pay. This was very good until 20, 30 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, that's it. Today, if a parent thinks that by raising his hand on his children he's going to achieve anything, the answer is absolutely not. Not only he won't help, and he will develop hatred in the house, and the kids will feel that their parents are their enemies, especially when what they hear in the media all the time by the goyim, that someone who raises his hand and pats his son here and there, then it's a horrible crime and they have to call the police, and this father is an abuser, and they get this and they grow up with that. Everywhere they go, they hear about it. It's not going to achieve anything anymore. We have to use our common sense. If the world has changed to such a rotten situation that we never experienced before, some of the truth does not apply to such rotten situation. Some of the things Chazal spoke about was when they speaking about rational and logical people. But today, some of the people have no logic anymore. No logic. There's no way sometimes to talk to these teenagers. You beg, you cry, you give them gift, you give them your life. You drive 4 hours for them every week, back and forth, and in the end they spit in your face and nothing you get in return. Not only that, they write in their Facebook how horrible is their father or the mother or whatever. If you are not ready for this kind of war, you're not in the right game. It's very, very difficult to be a parent today. Very difficult. So what's the solution? Rule number one. Today, a parent, father and a mother, must invest all their efforts in two different things. What is? First one, to give unconditional love non-stop to the children from morning to night, 7 days a week, 12 months, the entire year, every hour, every minute, unconditional love, full of compliments, how much they love him, how much they appreciate him, etc. And the second thing is to build their confidence. To build confidence, there are two ways. One is to constantly compliment them about every little thing they do, even if they are not talented at all in what they're doing. He wants to play piano and he plays horrible. You're doing good. You're great. Wow. I didn't know you have such a talent. Even though he knows you're fooling him, it's settled in his subconscious and one day you see the fruits of it. He knows 100%. Same thing a woman. You tell your wife something that you know and she knows very well that it's not true. But the fact that you're giving her a compliment stays forever by her. And it's not really the flower that costs $5 or $10 that you got her that makes her happy. It's the attention. It's, my husband cared about me. He never forgot. He came with flowers home. That's not really the flowers. But it's really what's behind it. Same thing with the kids. If you give them a lot of compliments, it's expression of love. Definitely never to put them down. You're a fool. You're a loser. How many times I have to explain to you? 6 times a normal person has to get the point. Why every week I get a phone call from your Rebbe or from your teacher? This kind of talking only makes the situation 10 times worse. There are problems, we make mistakes, and later we pay very serious price. Very, very serious price. The Torah says, Chanoch lana'ar al pi darko. Educate the kid, the boy, the teenage, by his own unique way. You cannot apply the same exact education to one boy and to the next boy and think that both of them will react the same. That's a very big mistake. It's different kind of souls. Let me explain to you what I mean. Sometimes you come to a house that the parents are hardly religious. Very, very, very modern. 10% religious, 90% secular. And they have fantastic kids. Nice, black hats, come to yeshiva, respect. They are much more religious than their parents. You wonder, how can it be? Sometimes you come to a house of a very important chacham and tzaddik. He knows a lot, he behaves great, his wife is really a holy, modest woman, and the kids are not exactly the tapuach, the apple fell very far from the tree. And everybody was asking, what's going on here? It's against the rules. The rule is that a person, the kids, wants to imitate their parents. Over here, none of these kids imitate his parents. He doesn't and he doesn't. It's two different things. Let me explain to you what the problem is. 2,000 years ago, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar, he said that before the Mashiach will come, the last generation, what we call Acharit Hayamim, the end of days, that's exactly the time that we live in right now. We are in Acharit Hayamim 22 years already. Exactly where all the problems began. up to 22 years ago, it was much easier to raise children. From then on, everything became 100 times harder. So it says like this. Who is I? Me, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the writer of the Zohar, the Kabbalah. It was the Tana, Mechaye Metim. You know, one of the greatest Jews who ever lived in history. He said, I wouldn't want to live in that generation. The Gemara gave examples of some of the signs that will take place in the world before the Mashiach will come. And one of them is, some of them applies to our children. First, achutzpah tisgeh. The chutzpah, arrogance, will rise to the highest level in history. Nowhere in the history by the Jews or the non-Jews, people reach, the young generation reach such level of arrogance. Never. Things that kids say to their parents today would be a death sentence 100 years ago. And today, nobody makes a big deal because it's every minute everywhere. People learn to live, unfortunately, with this kind of comments. So we see that we live in a complete different league now. It's not what it used to be. So the Gemara says, "Achutzpah tisgeh." Tisgeh comes to the record, to the highest level ever. Chutzpah. What's the next thing? Pnei ador kepnei kelev. The face of the generation like the face of a dog. Not a nice dog. A dog that is very angry. You saw the face of the dog when you see the postman coming? This is what the Gemara meant. One time AT&T sent advertisement 10 years ago. They got owners of dogs and their dogs out. They are twins. The owner and the dog. Remember, if you hear at least 10 years, probably remember these fancy brochures they sent. The owners of the dog are bragging that they are an exact copy of the face of their dogs. Something like this could never take place 50 years ago. Every normal person knew that it's not a compliment to look like a dog. But today, when some people, the dog is the most important thing in their life, they look at it as a compliment. They just do not know that from 2 million species HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, the dog is the worst one out of all of them. They don't know it. Why? Because, and which one is the best one? From the impure animals, the impure animal. The best one is the donkey. Because donkey has mitzvah like be'oma teora, peter chamor. Pidyon, you gotta redeem the first donkey who is born. A dog is, Hashem said that, etnan zona u'mechir kelev. The only dog that there is a negative, the only animal there's a negative comment about it in the Torah, that the value of the price of the collateral of the dog cannot be used for anything holy in Beit HaMikdash is that animal, the dog. Even though it's a very loyal animal, he loves his master, he serves his master, he can save life, we know all this. But as far as purity, it's the most impure animal that exists. And what? Serving him, running after him and picking his bathroom is not exactly a prize in life. Even though some very nice and respectable people think I'm very lucky. I'm walking in Manhattan at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday and clean the bathroom of my dog. They don't understand to what level they reach. But they think the dog is the most important thing in my life. 2 million out of his inheritance go to the dog to make sure his future is secure. You understand? This is where we live in. Pnei ador kepnei kelev. Kala kama bechamata. The daughter-in-law does not respect her mother-in-law. Not that she hates her. Maybe the mother-in-law gave her millions. Maybe she bought her a house. Maybe she got her a lot of things. She helped her a lot. But somehow, the Satan is focusing to instigate between, because this is one of the signs before Mashiach. So the mother-in-law, don't take it too personal. It just has to be that way. There's one of the signs the Gemara gave. So I remember when I was a kid, that every mother-in-law was just like the mother, 100% respect. All the in-laws used to come and take care of them, the old one, take her out, invite her. Today the generation is changing. So this is what we're living in now. Now, raising the children, there are so much threats around us that we did not have 30 years ago. For instance, it's an epidemic today with the drugs problem. They hear more and more that it's not so bad. Certain drugs is nothing. It's legal. Doctors give it to their patients. Rabbi, It's really no big deal. It helped me to relax. Don't make a big deal out of it. I post today on my Facebook page an article against drugs. You should see how people criticize me over there. Non-stop. Almost nobody agree. You know why? Let me tell you something. If I come to give a lecture about modesty, the women that are very modest, they love me very much. And the women that are not modest hate me very much. When I come to speak about the sickness of smoking, how much problems it causes society and to the people who smoke, the smokers are right away recognize me as a threat and they get very arrogant with me. And the ones who non-smoke, they go like this with their head non-stop. He's right, he's right. When I go to speak about charity, the generous people who sit in the crowd, they love very much what I say. Wow, it makes me feel great. I'm like that. And the stingy people in the crowd, they cannot stop moving in their chair and looking at their watch where this fool will finish. That's like everything else in life. The Gemara say, Chazal say, you want to be a smart person? Love the ones who criticize you. Don't run after the ones who compliments you. Nothing you will get out of them. By getting a lot of compliments from your friends, you'll stay what you are. This is why the Gemara said that one of the biggest things is, biggest mistake, להתחנף לרשע, חנפנות. Read in Orchot Tzadikim, there's a whole chapter about people who are extremely nice to wicked people. Why? Because the wicked people will never change. Why should they change? Everyone gives them respect. They sit VIP in a shul. They give them a beautiful chair on the stage next to the rabbi. Why should he change? If he see it cost him big time, he's behaving, he's going to change. But if everyone bow down to him just because he give a few dollars here and there, of course he's never going to change. But when someone come and tell him the truth, that could make a change. So, one more problems that we have today. In a previous generation, schools used to focus a lot on chinuch, not only passing information. Most of the schools today in the world, with some exceptions, Baruch Hashem, we have some excellent schools, most of them passing a lot more information than educating the children how to be human being. What's the difference between teaching to educating? It's a huge difference. What's more important? That the boy will not know so much Gemara and Torah, but will be a mensch, will have manners, will talk nice to every person, will respect everyone, will be generous, will be Baal Chesed, will be loyal, will be grateful, will be, you know, will always do the right things. And you know, whenever he's not home, you have nothing to worry about. And when he's home, he's always going to do the right thing. And when he's going to his people to stay by them for Shabbos, you don't have to worry what's going to be Sunday. What did he do? Did he fix his bed? Did not? When he sits on the table, did he clean his nose and everybody heard the elephant noise that he's making over there while he's eating? Is this what he did or not? Is he arrogant or not? Is he a modest person or not? Or going around, I don't want to say like what. What's more important? Someone that is decent and good, but not such a big chacham? Or someone that knows a lot, but behave Hashem Yirachem. What's more important? People forgot the most important values in life. It's a billion times better that even he won't know how to read Gemara all his life, but there will be a fantastic human being, Baal Chesed, not a thief, not a liar, not a crook, and will have strong emunah in Hashem, better than to know so much, and thanks to his Torah, will be even more arrogant than before. The Torah, Zacha na'aset lo sam chayim, lo zacha na'aset lo sam amavet. If a person has the merit, the Torah is the drug of life to him. It's reviving him all the time. If not, chas v'shalom, it's poison. How the Torah can be poison for a person? How can it be? If he never corrected his personality, the Torah only make him more proud, because now he has what to be proud of. Up to now, he was an ignorant person. There's nothing really to show off with. I'm not exactly a brilliant person. Now I learned 10 years Torah. I know so much. I can brag everywhere I go. Hashem is happy? Absolutely not. Be better he will be an ignorant person than to show off with his knowledge everywhere he go. And we find people like this. We see it starts when they are kids. Let me tell you a very solid rule about raising children. Since the children are very young, from age zero, you have to be focused on everything they hear and see. Someone came to the Chafetz Chaim and say, what age I should start doing this and this and this with my kids? He told him 20 years ago. They're just born, 20 years ago. Which means you had to start with yourself 20 years ago that when you have kids, you'll be ready to know what to teach them. Because personal example is much more important than lectures and teaching. For instance, if a rabbi teaches something in the Torah to his children and in a lunch break, he does the opposite, the entire teaching is worthless. It's like a doctor who comes to give a seminar how horrible is to smoke. It destroys the lung. It creates all kinds of sicknesses. And then in lunch break, everyone sees him walking in the hospital smoking a cigarette. What this lecture will do? Nothing. One picture erases 1,000 words. It's not going to help. Teaching the kids not to be liars. It's very important. But then when someone calls and looks for you and you don't like him so much, I'm not home. What do you mean? You're not home. The kid is learning that sometimes it's good to be a liar. Emunah. Speaking about emunah, teaching emunah, and then worry all the time about the bills and argue with your wife in front of the children. You have to cut what you buy. Why are you buying this for Shabbat? We can only eat this kind of fish. These, all kinds of things. That's not emunah. How do you know if a person has emunah? I give you a trick. If you want your daughter to marry someone with real emunah, send him to do shopping for Shabbat on Thursday and follow him. See if he compare prices in the supermarket. Why? The Gemara promise. All the items, everything you buy for Shabbat is not on your expense. Hashem pays for everything extra to your annual budget. So, if the person compare chocolate, $209, $229. Okay, $209, he takes it, puts it back. Right? Or he buys 10 items in this supermarket, gets back into his car, drive half a mile, go to the other supermarket. What are you doing, Yosef? Over here, they sell vegetables very cheap. Over there, the chickens are very cheap. Over there, the fish, always 50% off. He now knows everything in town. When did he have time to learn all this? What kind of Baal Emunah is this? Many people who save on food forgot one thing. The Gemara didn't say the salary of a person is determined from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. No. Mezonotav shel Adam. How many pounds of meat you're going to have this year, regardless of the price. Whether it costs 7 a pound or 15 a pound, you get it. It's not coming from your pocket. Because it's Lichvot Shabbat. Mezonotav means food and clothing and all your personal needs, you and your children, by pound. Not by money, which means if a pound of meat costs average today $10, and tomorrow something will happen in the world, another mad cow disease and who knows what, and it's going to be $50 a pound, you're still going to get the same amount of pounds. Don't worry about it. Hashem will add an extra $10,000 to your budget. Why? The mezonot are ktsuvim, not the money. Money always lose their value or increase the value. The dollar go up, dollar go down. The avrechim in Israel, if it can be within 1 month to the other, 10% decrease on their income. The dollar go up, it goes down. Now it's on the way up. It used to be, 340, now it's 386. It's a big difference, 15%. To an avrech in Israel, it's life risk. But don't worry, Hashem adds extra. Whatever you need, you need. It goes up and down, everything is calculated. So one of the rules when it comes to the children, you have to be strict only on the right things. Not everything requires a strict reaction. For instance, if a boy jumped on a $10,000 glass and broke it, very painful, right? Fancy table, wow, thick, like this, with marble, psh, broke it. You have to give him a punishment? No. You can talk to him in a nice way, don't give him a punishment. Why? Up to 6 years old is considered like a monkey. Whatever he does, do not be surprised. If you have a monkey, you bought a monkey from the Bronx Zoo, you know, and you put him in your house and he broke the chandelier. You punish the monkey? You understand he doesn't understand. But if the kid, 3, 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter, is lying, you gotta make a huge deal out of it. What's the difference between breaking a $10,000 table to lying one little lie? Breaking the table with or without your education will go away. Soon he's going to be 10 years old. He won't jump on tables. Don't worry. He knows that it's not permitted. He'll find out. Lying, you don't stop it now when he's 3. When he's going to be 10, it's going to be 10 times worse. Same thing stealing. He comes to the supermarket and he stole something, a candy. He has strong desire for candy like most kids. So what do? You find out on the way to the car in a parking lot that he has a candy that he took without permission. But you're a businessman. You're very busy. You have an appointment soon. So I'd say, oh, next time don't do it. You got it? That's not education. Education means let's go back into the supermarket and you have to give it back to the owner and you have to apologize and you make such a big deal out of it that he's going to get so afraid to ever steal again that it probably won't happen. And if it happens again, you do it again and you give him a bigger punishment because this must go away. If not, who knows what's going to come out of him. So certain things you must stop before they develop to a monster problem. Certain things is not so bad. There used to be a very, very big tzaddik, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He was a very, very big Ashkenazi Rav in a previous generation. And he wrote this famous book called Shmirat Shabbat Keilchata, All the Laws of Shabbat. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the bar mitzvah of his son, something very interesting happened. But before I tell you what happened, I will tell you one halakha that applies to us. Not always we know why. When a person has bar mitzvah to his son, just when the son go up to the Torah and he read what he reads, when he's done, the father stand next to the Torah and say, Baruch Sheptarani Me'onsho Shel Zeh, without saying the name of Hashem. Everybody knows that if you don't say the name of Hashem, it's not a bracha. It's a beautiful sentence, but in order for it to become a legitimate bracha, you have to say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Sheptarani Me'onsho Shel Zeh. And this is really the halakha. This is how we're supposed to say. So why we don't say the name of Hashem? No one is permitted to say it anymore. So let me tell you a story. In the bar mitzvah of the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the big tzaddik, the big chacham, got up. He was the perfect Baal Midot. And he said, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Sheptarani Me'onsho Shel Zeh. And everyone was shocked, including all the rabbis there. Rabbi, bracha levatala. You mentioned the name of Hashem. Nobody may say the name of Hashem for this bracha. Wow, you're surprising us. So he gave a speech. Listen good to his speech. The speech is amazing. It's also very scary. If you're clever. If you're clever, it will scare you. If not, no. So you have a smile. This is what it says. He says, you know why we're not allowed to say the name of Hashem? Because we are saying now to Hashem, bless you that brought me to this moment that I'm not liable anymore to my son's sins. It's him, 100% him. I'm not a partner to it anymore. What kind of father in our days? This was 30 years ago, something like that. You get the point. It wasn't in our time. In our time, it's needless to say. In his time. He said, what kind of father can make such a false statement and mentioning the name of Hashem for a lie? You're allowed to say a bracha that it's a lie? A person wants to eat pork for Shabbat. So he puts it on the Shabbos table next to the challah and the wine, and he say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that obligates me to eat pork on Shabbat. Somebody like this is religious, or is a very big rasha? Very big rasha, no? So this is exactly what he says. He says like this. Why a person say this bracha? Because he raised his son perfectly up to now. From now on, I'm not your boss anymore. That's it, you can get married tomorrow. Can go get a job, get married. In the old days, people got married in these ages. Ask your grandmothers what age they got married. Go to your grandmothers, ask them what age they got married. 12, in Iran, in Syria, in Lebanon, 12, Iraq, 12, 13, 14, 17 was a grandma already. That's how it was. Today, 13 years old, today, it's like 5 years old, 100 years ago. If you read in the books of the Chachamim, of the Poskim, kids age 13, what they used to do, some of them were big rabbis, age 18, sitting in a Beit Din. Look at Chacham Ovadia Yosef. In his 20s, he was already a giant Chacham. How many people age 20 in the world are reaching 1% of his knowledge? The world is different. So what happened over here? He says like this, the father, up to now I raised you, from now on you're not my problem. Every sin you do goes to your account, not to me. False, wrong. If you pushed him television, newspapers, sport, commercials, love for material, you're praising the rich people instead of the chachamim, you always talk about cars and jewelry and this and vacation, you pushed it to the boy nonstop, automatically his love to Hashem, it's all a show. Inside it's all rotten and empty. Every sin is going to do, not to talk about sending him to public school, I'm not even mentioning it. Every sin is going to do for the rest of his life, you have a share in that sin, my friend, my dear father. That's why you cannot make this bracha with the name of Hashem. You're lying. Hashem did not dismiss you from the punishment of this boy. How can you say such declaration? But I, who's I? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I know I did not make one mistake in raising this boy. That's why I can say the name of Hashem. I get goosebumps. I say this story already 10 times already. It's not the first time. And every time I remember it, I get chill all over my body. A person in almost our generation that knew, I know. I'm not worried to say the name of Hashem. Remember, to say the name of Hashem with no reason, it's a violation of the Ten Commandments. It's a serious violation. Ten Commandments. It's not just another... I forgot to do my machronim. This is a very serious violation. Ki nake lo inake. It's very difficult to make tshuva for this, just mentioning the name of Hashem whenever you feel like. And he got up and he said it. One more thing he said in the funeral of his wife. When they're burying his wife in front of thousands of people, he said to his wife, you and I know that I don't even have one reason to ask you for mechila. The entire life that we lived together, probably 50 years of marriage, something like that, we did not hurt each other once. Anybody here can raise his hand and say, it's also by me like this, one day. Not 50 years. One day that I did not upset my husband, and he never upset me, or embarrassed me, or he gave me always the right attention that I need. Come on. 50 years, not one time I offended you, I hurt you, or something like that, and you never did anything to me, I don't have to ask you for mechila, it's the last chance to ask for mechila. I never did anything wrong, 100%. Let's talk about some of the most current problems that we have today. Many kids are off the derech, unfortunately. One of the reasons here, they have access to the Facebook, they have cell phones, and they're starting to see things that they never raised with. Nobody ever raised them in the right way 100%, and now they're exposed to many things that the street have to offer. The yeshiva does a great job. They warn, they teach, but the parents do what they do. And they give them this luxury, and later they pay the price because the boy's not interested to learn Gemara anymore. What do you want from him? He see all these sports, all these infatuations, all these desires, all this addiction to material, and now you come and tell him, learn Gemara from 2,000 years ago, Abaye say or Rava say. What does he care about this now? He wants these things that he see by his parents, by his cousins. It's impossible. It's a very serious problem. How do we fix the problem? We're already in a problem. So how do we fix the problem? Only one way. There are two kinds of reaction. Some parents go as far as throwing them out of the house. I can't have him in the house. He's destroying my other kids. He's destroying the family. He's not Shomer Shabbat anymore. He puts an earring. He put this. He made a tattoo. How can I let him sit in my Shabbos table knowing he's going out to smoke or he texts his friends? This is what I hear every day from very firm families. So one thing is that they want to throw him out and get rid of him and never see him again. As bad as it sounds. The other way is to give them lots of love and say, look, I know you chose this way, but we always love you, you always have a place to return. When do you think eventually in the long run the chance to get them back to become extremely religious is higher? To throw them out and never ever hear from them, and they know they're alone in the world and they don't depend on you, they don't need you, they have to know that they are now by themselves, or that you still show them, no matter how wicked you are, I still love you and I still obligated to you, and you need money, you call me and don't be afraid, and I'm not embarrassed of you and things like this. I know it's very difficult. To talk, it's easy. I know. It's very, very challenging moments in raising youths and teenagers today. Very challenging. And we make a lot of mistakes. But when do you think in the long run, many of these kids come back for one reason? You ask all the experts that the family did not turn their back to them. If they did, they don't have any incentive to go back. They have bad memories from the days that they were religious, and that's it. One lady here before the lecture told me that she heard my recent lecture about a case that happened right here a few blocks away from here in Brooklyn, New York. I got permission from the person to use his name. I asked him clearly because, you know, not everyone wants to take the embarrassment that attached to this story, but he gave me permission. So his name is Mr. Mikhail Biton, a tzaddik, a Jew, Orthodox Jew, keep mitzvot, have many children, all of them religious, one of them got off the way. Like it happens to the best families, unfortunately. It happens to Yitzhak Avinu. He had Esav. Esav. So what happened? The boy is off the way. I don't want to describe too much some of his things that he does, but real off the way, let's put it that way. And then now he's 21 years old, he lives in his father's house, he's not Shomer Shabbos, needless to say, no respect, doing laundry in the house, watching computer in his parents' house, they're ultra-Orthodox. His father has a very long beard, he's very serious, he's connected to Torah. Okay, so now it's very, very heartbreaking situation. You have a boy that you raised, you gave your life to him, and he's in your house on Shabbat doing what he wants. It's very bad, very bad. He listened to my lecture on Idabrut Radio about Shabbat. He calls me up with his wife sitting in a car. He says, I'm shaking up now. I don't really know what to do after I heard his lecture. This is exactly my son, what you said. His entire lecture. What do I do right now? How I keep him in a house like this and all the other kids see what he does to me in the house? Or I let him go? He's not a kid. He's 21. Let him go and be on his own. What do I do? We started to talk. And I said to him, I'm going to send you a CD, a DVD. He said, nah, don't waste your time. He's not interested. He's suffering from his childhood in yeshiva. He had some kind of bad experience. He doesn't want to hear anything from religion. So what happened? If you send a CD, he won't agree to hear. Thank you. He won't even agree to hear. Don't waste your time. So I had an idea. I said, you know what? I have this debate that I had with the priest. Even very, very ultra-secular people love it. Because it's entertaining, you know, debate, Judaism, Christianity. Forget about religion. Let me send you the debate, and you offer it to him as an entertaining thing. Not religion. He said, you know what, it's a good idea, send it in. He got it, he watched it first. He said, you know what, maybe it's going to work. He gave it to his son. And then he heard from the basement laughing. He called his friend. Became a show of the day. Everyone there in the basement enjoying how the priest drank 17 bottles of water. It's very entertaining because they don't have answers. They don't really have answers. The biggest mistake that they do to agree to debate rabbis, because it's like a monkey arguing with a man who is more human being. This is exactly what it is. It's very, very strange how they even have the guts to come to the debate. So it's like me going to argue with a brain surgeon who knows better how to operate on a brain. I never saw a brain from inside. What is the connection here, Bichlal? They have no idea. Everything is full of errors. Anyway, the boy is getting the point now. So now he's on the mood now to listen. He likes it. So he calls me up and he says to me, listen, now he's in a mood. You have other videos? I say, yeah, Torah and science. Every person who watches it right away become very big Baal Emunah. Give him this. It's full of proofs, one after the other. We send him the DVD. The boy watched the DVD according to him 10 times. Then I went to Canada. I was 5 days in Toronto there. When I came back, Motzei Shabbat, he left me a message. I'm in a hotel in Guelph in Canada. It's next to Toronto there. I hear my messages. He leaves an exciting message, Motzei Shabbat. If he can call me tonight, it's better than tomorrow. Tonight. How can I call him? Canada, this. Bottom line, I came back Monday night. Tuesday, the next day, 6 o'clock in the evening, he knocks on my door. I'm getting ready to leave to my lecture. My son comes and says, Abba, tzedakah. You see, someone with beard, you know, black hat, in the door. What does he know? Tzedakah. He doesn't recognize him. I said, okay, let me go, tzedakah. I come to the door. I see him. He says, no, not tzedakah. I am Biton. Grab my hand, tears, mwah, mwah, kissing. I said, come, let's go to the learning room. He comes into the room. You have no idea what happened. The boy watched the DVD. This Shabbat he kept fully. Couldn't talk to him about religion. He hates it so much. So anti. He kept it fully. Today he tells me, take me to Eichler's. So what do you have to buy there? He said, don't ask questions. Take me to Eichler. Bot tzitzit, bot tehilim. I said to him, you know, I'm on my way to Brooklyn. That was last week that he came to. I'm on my way to Brooklyn. Maybe you bring him to the lecture. He said, no, he has to be very early in the Bronx tomorrow. But let's put him on the phone. I spoke to the boy on the phone. I said, I don't know if I can come. I have to sleep early. I said to him, that's okay. You don't have to come. But I send you some more CDs now. Just listen to the CDs. Everything will be fine. I come to Mill Basin. I see he's there. First one. The father, the son, and the youngest son. Nice, handsome boy, good heart. The children have good heart. It's just that the Yetzer Hara took control over their life. So right away, I gave a lecture. At the end of the lecture, the boy comes to me. This is a boy that, if I tell you the stories that his father was telling me, you would never believe something like this can happen in 3 days. Never believe. He said to me, the boy, Rabbi, now, you inspired me so much. I want to know, what should I do every day now? I said, learn at least 2 hours Torah a day. Everything else will be fine. Jew is connected to the Torah for real? For real. Because he wants. Not because they force him to go to school. And he's thinking when the day will be over. Now he's into it. That's it. In 1 month you see what's going to happen. And he's in. And this is what this is the story that I said now. It's for one thing. The father was smart. 21, it's been years. You have no idea what the boy was doing. He kept him in the house. He gave him the love. He helped him. He supported him. He said the amount of money that boy cost him, you don't want to hear. And in the end, he did not resent him. And you see that even though there was a very big opposite, the father and the son, you see the harmony and the love between them. How many people that the kids went off the derech can say that they love them? If you hear the things that some kids change their last name. On their Facebook, they put a different name. They ask, what do you do? I don't want my parents' name. That's how much they hate them. Why? Because you have to understand, they're not understanding the Torah like some of you understand. They went to school, everything they were fed, they have doubts, they're afraid to ask in yeshiva about their doubts, because if they're going to ask, how do I know that Moshe and Hashem spoke? How do I know? You told me that. My grandfather, my Rebbe told me, but I'm not sure about this only. And now I have much better life, supposedly. And he has doubts, and he's afraid to ask, because they're going to say to him, hey, you're a pikors in yeshiva. Like Rabbi Sapperman is a very, very big expert in raising children. He's from Toronto, and he makes seminars for Rebbe's to teach them how to educate kids. And he told me, if you hear when I go to the schools, I tell the Rebbe's go out of the school, go out of the class for 10 minutes. And when I say, now we are by ourselves, the Rebbe is not here. Tell me what's your problem. 17, 18 years old, they ask if God exists. They learn Gemara for 4 or 5 years, and they ask if God exists, if they really receive the Torah. This is one of our failures in life. Because you have to establish strong foundation to the kids, always to show them proofs that, because today, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, is very powerful. There's so much offers on the street. 30, 40 years ago, what did you have? No cell phone, no television, black and white, they came out, everyone was excited. There's no computer, no all these devices, there's nothing. Today, you cannot make one step without 5,000 options. You want to compete with learning and being into the Torah and what the streets has to offer? So there's only one solution. Just love and love and love, and in the end they come back. Otherwise you lose them. That's it. The game is over. Of course, a lot of tefillot, lots of tears. You don't cry, nothing comes. Nothing comes without crying today. Sha'are dima lo ninalu. The Gemara say after the destruction of the second temple, all the gates in heaven are locked, except one gate. Sha'are dima lo ninalu. They're always open, the gates of tears. Crying, it's direct and immediate effect on your life. One big chacham asked, why you call it a gate in that case if it was never even locked once? A door that is always open, it's not really a gate. It's an entrance. It's not a gate. Gate is something that gets locked and open every day, not every week. The answer is, to some people it is locked. To some people it's always open. Depend what you cry for. If you cry for nonsense, Hashem locked the gate. I don't want to hear this nonsense anymore. There are many psukim in the Nevi'im that Hashem say, Hogatem oti bedivrechem. You made me sick and tired from your nonsense, from your nonsense words and requests. Instead of crying for the real things, you're only crying for nonsense. For instance, I always say, if you take a detector and connect it to people's brains, and and the computer will display what people think while they're praying, what do you think will be the most popular word on the screen? Parnasa, Parnasa, Parnasa. 500 words, Parnasa. 2-3 words, health, children, Talmidei Chachamim. Parnasa, Parnasa. $300 million, yes? He's crying, Parnasa, Hashem, business is slow. What's going on here? Fine, someone doesn't have food for tomorrow morning. I understand, he cries for Parnasa. I meet such wealthy people, the first thing they come to cry to me about is their Parnasa. And if you look at their children, how they are with the drugs and the things that are happening, how they look, you see right away. And what is he crying about? Business, Rabbi, I had to close a big business. My partner stole from me. That's what's the main thing in his life. Now, I want to tell you something. If you want to meet a person, you want to know about him, what's the most important thing in his life. What's the way to know about it? How do you know? You just met a person a minute ago. He came to your office, you sit with him, you socialize a little bit. You made him coffee, you sit, and you let him talk. How do you know what's the most important thing in the life of this person? You speak to him 1 hour, and you measure what's the most common thing that he spoke about in the last hour. This is where his mind is. If he speaks a lot about politics, he's addicted to all the things. Iran, United States, who's going to be elected, that. Every minute, 10 minutes, the news, reading, newspaper, addicted to the news. It's an addiction. Some people only sport. Yankees, this, that, Omran. Wow, wow, oh my gosh. That's their life. Like the Greeks. That's their life, the Greeks. Sparta, sport come from Sparta. The Greeks invented that concept. But if you see a person come, how are you doing? Baruch Hashem, I'm learning Masechet Yevamot now. What a sugya there is over there. This, I don't understand. I'm looking for an answer. That's what he's talking about. Then you know his mind is in the Torah. His mind is in holiness. He speaks about, I have a problem with my son. He's doing this, he's doing that, he's not learning enough. Then you know that he's worried about the right things. But many people have this problem, but it's minor compared to their dreams. Let me give you an example. How many parents push their children to the direction that is good for their children? Almost none. Most parents push their children to what's good for them and for their ego in society. You're gonna be a doctor, you heard me? I am a doctor, my brother is a doctor, your mother is a doctor, you're going to be a doctor, you won't embarrass us. What is this musician? You want to be a musician. It's going to be a big embarrassment for us. That's and destroyed him mentally, destroying him spiritually.
That's not his job in life, to stand and cut bloods and make surgeries and who knows what. Same thing, you be a lawyer, you be this, you want to be a teacher? God forbid. You want to be a rabbi? Who's going to support you? I'm not going to be healthy forever to give you money. What is this rabbi? You're not going to finish the month. That's how the parents talk. Why not? What about his talent? What about what he loved to do? You want him to be wealthy and miserable like most people in the world? They force their opinions on their children. One other example. What do you think? Every kid can be bright in Gemara? The answer is no. Not everyone will be bright. Some people will learn 10 years and still be like a level of beginners almost. Some people learn 6 months, they already know a lot. I saw in my own eyes, a guy came to the yeshiva, in 2 years he finished us. The Rosh Yeshiva was 45 years learning from morning to night. He got up on the stand there and started to cry. He said, I'm 45 years learning, and what this boy did in 2 years, Baal Tshuva from South America. First of all, he didn't know one word in Hebrew. While he came to yeshiva, he learned Hebrew, he learned Aramaic, he learned the whole Gemara, every page in the Gemara he learns by heart. I was much longer than him in yeshiva. Every time I needed a source, I come to him, Avram, where is this Tosfot? Kiddushin, page such and such. Avram, where is this? Go like this, like computer. Over here, over here, over here. No. So he was born for that. That's his mission in life. Hashem gave him his skills. Some kids, they go in yeshiva, they can't make it. They're below the level, and they force on them, and two dares, and kill them, and until they want to die already. They don't want this life. What is this? What? So it's not going to be a big rabbi. At least it's going to be Shomer Shabbat, will be tzaddik. Today everyone pray. You know, they have dreams. My son will be Rosh Yeshiva, big Talmid Chacham. Pray to Hashem that he will stay Shomer Mitzvot in this generation. What, do you take it for granted? You know how many people, they learn, and one day they leave yeshiva and they go to business, and in 3 months they become 90% goyim? You see them? The yarmulke became like a quarter, jeans, holes, boots, like the gondolas of Venice. His boots looks like this. What is this? Goes like this. I never seen it. All of a sudden I see a boy who's very good in yeshiva. His boots goes all the way up like this. Very, very sharp. So what's this? Say, Rabbi, you old fashioned. It's the new style now. This is a kid who learned Torah 10 years. How much we have to cry to Hashem, to have to cry to Hashem. Now remember, Yad Yemin always mekarevet, right hand. Right, left arm, left hand, pushing, which means, yes, you don't let them do whatever they want. One of the mistakes that parents do is becoming friendly with their kids. Too much friends, buddies, then they lose the respect to you. If you is buddy, too much buddies, you're one of his friends from high school. You have to be his authority. You gotta give him unconditional love, yes, but as a father to a son, as a mother to a son, we're not friends. Today, most parents are the servants of their children. Come pick me up, take me here, take me to gym, take me there, take me to college, take me here, take me to yeshiva, get me back, lunch break, I need to buy shoes. Half of the day, the mother is driving her sons. Flatbush, to Borough Park, take me to Mill Basin, take me over here, I have a party. In the previous generation, children served their parents. Today, the parents serve their children. That's really where the problem begins. If the kids, already since they're young, you spoil them so much, you run for them, you serve them nonstop, and only receive, what do you expect from them when they're 16? They got used to receive. They don't want to give. They don't want to give for their own life, for their own wives. Do you know the divorce rate today? If I tell you how the divorce rate in the last 10 years, you won't believe it's possible. Hundreds of percent rising. Hundreds of percent, 10 times more, 15 times more, divorce rate. Almost every young couple today get divorced within 4 years. Why is it? Not enough emunah, not enough love for Hashem, a strong addiction to money and material that destroyed everything in life, and of course the marriage. And they are marrying for the wrong reason. Family to family. Who cares now, family? They belong to each other, the boy and the girl. Two important families. But they're not a match. What's going on here? this is not a match. There's a lot of bad advices out there. No. Or sometimes I say to them, don't worry, the love will come later. It's important. We know the family from Syria. We grew up together. What does it have to do with the shidduch? It's not the right neshama. All kinds of mistakes that we do, that later we pay the price. I know my time is running out, and I really want you to ask me some questions, and I want to give you time for questions. But one last...
Yeah.
Yes, now it's, please, now take advantage on time. Any question? Okay, so let's finish with one more thing, and then maybe by then you will come up with a question. Things that I said before, we gotta build the confidence of the kids a lot, constantly to give them compliments. Never to tell them you're not good in this, you're not good in that. Always to tell the guests, wow, my son is such Baal Chesed, he helps the neighbor, he helps this, he helps me so much. Yes, of course there's negative things. Never to say the negative, definitely not in front of people. You have to know how to behave in a house with your wife or with your husband. And if you have arguments and problems, definitely never, never, ever in front of the kids. The kids must grow up with the impression that their parents are incredibly in love, incredibly respecting each other. Never, ever I heard my parents argue. That's what I have to grow up with. Never to talk about financial problems in front of them. Never to use the words, you know how much your yeshiva cost me, you loser? You know how much I pay? I pay yeshiva $20,000 a year, and this is what you do? This is your marks, this is your grades, this is big mistakes. Because he now loses confidence even more. I'm making my father lose all his money. Don't talk it like this, it's big mistakes. You should say, I'm honored that Hashem give me money that I send you to such good yeshiva. Never ever to criticize the rabbis, even if you have a lot to say about them. Never. They lose their respect to the Torah and to all other rabbis. Never ever to make comments about rabbis that people speak about on the news, because the news is very wicked. They spill blood nonstop. Don't fall into that trap. Better not to even hear Haredi news. I'm not talking secular news. There's nothing to talk about. It's Issur D'Oraita. I'm talking Haredi. The most Haredi newspaper. Better not to listen to it. Because there's a lot of politics going on. They criticize this Chacham, and they criticize this Bet Din, and they criticize this Gmach. What do you need to bring these things in your house? You have to show them since the day they're young that the rabbis are the most important people in the world. And even, unfortunately, there are negative things that are happening in the world. They should never be heard in your house. Because if they're going to hear about these things in the house, you lose them right there. So, if the rabbis are like this, what are you telling me to be like this? If the rabbis are like this, finish, you have nothing to answer. He learns Torah all his life, and he did that, and now you're telling me that I'm wrong? Yes.
How do you deal with that? Because a lot of times things is going on in the community, and this rabbi did this and that, and the kids hear about it, and they lose their respect. How do you deal with it?
Not everything you can deal with. Some battles are lost before they started. You cannot have control what your kids hear on the bus. They send them to good yeshiva, maybe the yeshiva is perfect, but then something happened on the street, in a store, in places, in wedding, they hear it from a cousin, from someone. There's not always control. The things that we have no control, the only answer to it is to cry to Hashem with broken heart to save us from all these threats. Because there's plenty of threats out there that not always we can do. So you can raise your son, you can close him. One person told me, my brother in Bnei Brak, his kids do not go out of the house one time until they get married. He raised them and locked them in a house. He doesn't let them go one block in Bnei Brak. If it's good or not, we can argue. But we understand where he comes from. What does he say? I'm going to invest all my life in their education, teaching them Torah, send them to the best yeshiva, and in the end they're going to go here on Bnei Brak and meet all these pushtakim, and all my efforts will go down the drain. So what's the point? So I better always watch them and supervise them. Not always he can help. Some people need some freedom, some air, some to be out, to express themselves, some sports, to run, to do certain things. You lock them in. One day when they go up, they become big monsters. We see today some of the rotten apples of the religious education, what they do on the street. Spitting on not modest women, spitting at girls, burning, violence, beating up religious rabbis because they don't have the same opinion. All kinds of things. Look what's happening. Why is it? They got the wrong education. Sometimes I have people that call me, they phone from birth. And then they say, you know what, I was already pretending I'm religious for the respect of my parents for the last 5 or 10 years. And finally, Baruch Hashem, I came to this CD and I started to listen to the lecture on a website. And where I grew up, I don't want to say names, but where I grew up in that community, they don't allow this kind of musar. They say, we don't want to make you think too much. We don't give you these options of Ramchal or other things like this, or certain things that the Rambam say. So what happened now? Now it all makes sense to me. Now I'm beginning to love religion. The Torah is beautiful. Hashem said, Ve'yadata, you should know everything can be reached 100% knowledge. We are the only religion that is based on knowledge. 80,000 religions and cults who came after Judaism, besides the fact that they're all complete fake, all of them, over there, the answer for every question is, we have to believe. We have to believe. We're not allowed to ask questions. We have to believe. Comes the Torah and say the opposite. We don't have to believe. Believing means not knowing. We have to know. And how do we know? Hashem gave us all the tools inside the Torah to know 100%. That's why the Torah says, Ve'yadata hayom. Today you can know, not tomorrow. Today you don't need more than a day. Vehashevotai levavecha. But to keep it in the heart, it's a battle. It's keep going out, you have to push it back. Vehashevotah means to return it into the heart. Return it into the heart. One more thing, and we'll finish with that. Don't bring your business home. If you're a businessman, if you're a psychologist, and you have all kinds of emergency, and people call you in the after hours, you're thinking it's emergency. No. Your children is more emergency. You're done with your office, you're done with your work, nobody should know where you are, unless if you're a doctor on a call, then it's life risk, you have to go to the hospital. But other than that, don't make people bother you at home. You come home, you must be with your wife and your children, you have to have dinner together, you have to ask them what they learn, you have to sit and say, do you want to tell me something? You have to show them love, hug them, kiss them, give them a lot of love. Give them lots of compliments. That's the 2-3 hours a day you see them. Otherwise, you don't see them. When are you going to see them? Shabbat after the chul and you're probably snoring. So when are you going to see them? So a little bit in the evening. So make yourself a rule that everyone sit for dinner if it's possible. Giving them too much independence since they're kids, like I said, they won't need you. I manage without them. I have everything I need. Some of them even go to work. I say, no, I don't want my money. So you're thinking, wow, what a great kid I have. He's so sensitive, he's thinking about my difficult financial situation. In reality, he's not thinking about your financial situation. He wants to be independent, he wants to make his own money that you don't have control of him. Once he's making his own money, he buys his own cell phone or laptop or who knows where he does, what he does. Don't tell me what to do. Why? I'm a man. I'm 13, but I'm working. I'm making my own money. I work in after yeshiva. I go work somewhere. It's not always good. Also in the summertime, you think, oh, let him go walk, prepare him for life. He is good about it, he's bad about it. You should know one thing. One kid came to his father to show him the homework. And the father said, don't you see I'm busy? I'm very busy. Come back in 10 minutes. He came again and he came again, and every day is like this. He never looked at his test. He never looked at what he wants to say. He never have patience for his kids. One time the kid came and he got angry and said, don't you see I'm busy? Don't be annoying. And then five minutes later, the boy, the father is on the phone. He gets a phone call. He looks at the number. He doesn't recognize the number. It's all done. He goes to the other line. He say, yes, can I help you? He say, Abba, who is this? Moishi, where are you? I'm calling you from the neighbors across the street. You were just here a minute ago. So why you went to the neighbor to call me? He said, I realized the only way to speak to you is to call you on the phone. Ah, that father got his message at least. said, no, no, come, come, quick, come, bring your papers, come. He started to cry. He said, wow, what am I doing? Destroying my own children. So that from that moment, no, no more business at home. Do you think he make less money? No. If you think you're going to do anything on the expense of your wife and your children, you are dreaming. I will tell you what my cousin told me in the name of the biggest chacham in the world, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, which was a very big tzaddik, very big mekubal, full of yisurim, an amazing person that lived in our generation who passed away about 12, 13 years ago. He was his rabbi, 12 years day by day, night by night. So I went to Yerushalayim. My cousin is a very big chacham in Eretz Yisrael, very big chacham. And he was sitting in a car. I gave him a ride from the yeshiva to his house. It was around 10:30 at night. So he said to me, so you're in America, how many nights you go to give lectures? So I say to him, every night. I have lots of lectures. I don't know why. I put sometimes two a night. I don't know what to do. And he said, no, and how does it go? I said, Baruch Hashem, fantastic. Every night is few new Baale Tshuva. Baruch Hashem. And this was before I had an internet website. It was just who you see that night. Today, who you see that night is not a peanut compared to the amount of people who would see it tomorrow on the media. But that, those days were primitive days. So he said to me, you're making a very big mistake. I said, what mistake? He said that you're going to give lectures every night. It's too much. You have to be in a house. And I say to him, what do you mean? I'm dealing with saving souls. Ma, the Gemara says, "Matzil nefesh achat." What do you say? What, you want me now to not to do it? He said, no, you do it maximum twice a week. I said, what about the other three nights? He said, you're not allowed to go. You stay in the house. So I said to him, I can't accept such a thing. It doesn't make sense to me. He said, what do you think? I'm telling it to you in my name. This is what Chacham Ben Zion told me when I used to do the same mistake like you. He said to me, don't go and make Baalei Tshuva. It's not a mitzvah for you. Why? Because your wife is miserable at home. You cannot do big mitzvah on the expense of big sin towards your wife or your children. If you fulfill your obligations and they let you go with a full, comfortable heart, you can go, we're happy from what you do, that's a different story. But if not, you're not allowed to do it. Mitzvah ba ba'avira, I say. Don't do it. Because everything, Rabbi Chaim Vital say, everything you do for others and comes on the expense of your own home, not only that you have a very big sin between you and your wife and your children, you don't have any reward for what you do out there for people. Nothing, zero. Shocking. In the name of the biggest chacham. He said, only if you fulfill first your obligation. What did you sign on a ketubah? Lefarnes, lechabed, leokir, latet. Well, you know, you're never home. What kind of marriage is that? You understand? So this is a very big thing. Then I said to him, listen, I have a problem. My oldest son has problem reading. I think he was 6 or 7 years old at that time. He says that the Rebbe called me and he said that I have to get him a private tutor. But he's a very smart kid. So I don't understand why he has problem reading. They think maybe he's dyslexic, you know, he has problems, you know. So he needs some help. So I asked the Rebbe, you have a tutor, somebody you can teach him? He said, yeah, we have someone who we work with. How much is going to be? $2,000 a month. I said, no, I'm not a businessman. I don't have businesses. I cannot afford, besides all the tuition, now another $2,000 a month. What am I going to do? I said to him. And he said to me, you don't need tutor. You don't need anything. You go back home. Listen, good. What raising children is all about. He said, go back to your son. Take him with you to a park somewhere, quiet place. Put your hand around his shoulder and tell him, I want you to know one thing. You know, I know they tell you in school, you don't read good, this, that. Doesn't matter. For me, you are perfect. I love you. You are my son. It doesn't matter if you be big chacham, if you know how to read. As far as I'm concerned, you won't know ever how to read. It's fine by me. Don't worry. Don't have any pressure. I want you just to be a decent person, tzaddik. This is in your hand. If you don't know how to read, don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. Just that you know we love you no matter what and never ever forget that, and that's it. And you'll see in a few days he's going to read perfect. I was thinking to myself, he's over-optimistic, this rabbi. But I never believed that it didn't even take a few days. One day took. After I told him that, it was one evening, not the next day, the following day, the Rebbe called. I gotta tell you something, incredible happened today. I asked him to read in a class, usually always avoiding it. You know, he doesn't want, he pretend he doesn't know the page, something. Today, right away, he started to shoot, like a machine gun, not one mistake. I never seen such a thing in my life. What? Just a few days ago, he couldn't read one sentence. It's all about confidence. The best athletes in life, the best basketball player, the best soccer player, the best, the coach, criticize them in front of the team with hard words, they become handicaps on the field. They cannot shoot one basket the entire game. The best shooter, he lost his confidence. He's the most talented sport athlete, basketball player. Check in history. You criticize him or the audience boo him, finished. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was invited to a party, a bar mitzvah, a wedding. And the band started to play Hasidic music horribly. Wow, such horrible, off tune. It got to a point that almost every song they messed up. And some of the people, religious, believe it or not, they started to get annoyed. So they started to say, hey, boo, what's going on here? You have to learn how to play. Who invited you? So Rav Moshe Feinstein got on the stage and he took the microphone and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you how much I enjoy the music that this band playing here tonight. For years, I did not enjoy music like I'm enjoying tonight. Please, Lev, everyone, clap for them, this and that. That's it. A minute after they play like nobody ever played before. What changed? They learn how to play in 20 seconds? It's all about confidence. You want to raise good children, no criticism, no violence, no you loser, you this, you that. All the time compliments, love. I didn't say to spoil them, to make them prima donnas. Oh, darling, your shoes is in the middle of the room, so pick it up. Oh, the cleaning lady is coming. The maid's going to do it. No. The maid should not go to clean the room. They should clean their own room. Many things they have to do. They have to take garbages out. In my house, the kids cut the grass. They cut the grass. One takes the recycling out. One takes the garbage. One, before he goes to sleep, he cleans the whole house. He makes order, put all the toys. You prepare them for life. What all their life people will do for them. They have to know. They live here. They eat here. They have to contribute. Tomorrow they're going to be in yeshiva. Somebody's going to sit on their bed. Someone won't give them enough respect. Every place they're going to go, they're never going to fit in. Because they come from a house that the maid is doing everything for him. Now he's in yeshiva. Some of the kids are a little bit, you know, wild. He cannot find himself over there. He's the prince or the princess. That's not the right way. Any questions before we're done? Take advantage. Anything. Even different subjects.
What happened with the priest?
Nobody
knows. 17 cups of water.
By the way,
yeah.
16 years old.
Shh. Yeah.
She's been asking repeatedly, I want to go out with my friend, I want to go out to King's Plaza, I want to go out. And one of the parents will drive us and we want to shop. I mean, they're not going to buy anything, but it's a count of, I want to shop, I want to look around, I want to explore myself. And I've been kind of holding it back. And my wife, you know, you gotta give them some confidence, you gotta trust them, you gotta let them go out. And at the same time, I don't see the value going out shopping and you know you're not gonna buy anything. What's the point?
You're right, they're not supposed to go. You're right.
Exposure of the street.
You're right. 16 years old, not supposed to go shopping. If she goes shopping, she goes with her mother.
Right.
Yes, you don't surrender to them. No surrender to them. No.
No, you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. No. A religious girl from Bet Yaakov, what is she doing in King's Plaza in the mall when all the people go? First of all, it's not good to educate them that shopping is important. All the time shopping, shopping, shopping. I want to tell you something. We know a rich family that give us a lot of their clothes to give to poor people in Muncie. Half of the things they give us has the price tag on them, 800, 1,000, 500, 250, top brand names. They just shop because of their emptiness. They're such shallow people, religious, such empty, that all they care about is to shop, to excite themselves with new things all the time. This is what we want our children to be. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Just because a person can afford it doesn't mean it's a positive thing to do. No. The money was given for different reason, not to be addicted to materialism. Understand? So, but again, if you give them a beautiful preach and you're going to be addicted to materialism, every year a new car, this car is like this, I don't like it, it doesn't have the new thing, they came up with, this is all he hears on Shabbos with the guest. Ferrari, they invented the new things now, is this and this. You show them that this is what you care, that's what they're going to be. What here? All the time they hear business, business, business. They want to be business. They don't want to learn. They hear Torah, Torah, Torah. They want to be Torah. They think, oh, Torah, it's important.
I have a second issue that's coming around. And I told my daughter straight up front, no makeup, no nail polish, no high heels till 18 years old. And till 18 years old. And my older daughter, it worked very well. But I'm feeling that the society today, the friends are coming over, or they have a friend, they're really breaking these rules in their own home, but they're bringing it in to my home, coming to visit.
Every family has this problem. First thing, you have to know who their friends is. Not everyone you have to approve just because they live in the same neighborhood or go to the same school. That's number one. Number two, assume that it's a good kid that normally is good, and sometimes they teach your daughter or son something not so good. So you have to explain a lot to them. I know your friend do it, but we don't do it. Here, I show you. This is not what Hashem wants. The opposite, instead of following and imitating your friend, you should influence your friend to be better like you. That's what you have to do, not fall after people. And lots of talking and lots of prayers. Lots of prayers and crying to Hashem. Without this, share dima, just the crying, the mother, the father cry to Hashem. Scream, don't be embarrassed. If you're embarrassed to scream in a shul, you lock yourself in a room and scream with all your hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tears. One guy came to the shul, in the middle of the davening, he started like this, screaming, crying. This was a shul that they daven very quiet. Very quiet, you hardly hear, until the Baruch Hu, you don't hear a beep. Everyone whisper over there. All of a sudden, this guy comes. So one guy came to him, excuse me, you don't see that this is a different style of shul than what you used to? People here don't scream, they civilized, you know? I didn't even talk about racism that we have among us in this. It's one of the hardest problems, but maybe in another time. But so he said to him, here we are civilized. Keep your screaming to your hometown or to the shul where you daven. Over here, please keep it quiet, you're disturbing me. So what do you think was the reaction of this guy? He gave him such a smack in his face. Pah! Ooh, this guy didn't expect this. Oi! He said, tell me, why did you just scream? You just say no screaming in the shul. You say you hurt me. He said, you see, when it hurts, you scream. I scream because it hurts. That's why I scream. I scream, it's not in my hand. It hurts, my heart is burning. For my son, for my daughter, for my parnasa, for my Torah, for my who knows what. For my shalom bayit, everyone with his problems. Almost every problem you name today, almost every family has. Whatever you shoot, I'll show it to you in every family, almost. Yes?
Well, I wanted to ask you, kids, they love library books, especially Shabbat,
They love what?
Library books. They go to the library.
Library.
Mostly kosher books.
Yeah.
And, they spend Shabbat and the rest of the week reading it, and they're very much into that. I want you to ask your opinion on it.
Very good. I tell you, everything I know in my life is thanks to private books I read, not from school. From school, I did not learn anything. Today, they have Google, so you can search everything you want and get the information in a much easier way. In my days, you didn't have it. There's no computers when I was a kid. But I used to take library from the library one or two books every day, and read it, even though it was nonsense book, but through this nonsense I learned a lot about life. If you get them kosher book that doesn't have Hashem Yirachem problems with modesty and kfirah and things like this, you gotta be careful, because some books that supposedly have a kosher stamp that are not kosher at all. You have to know. So if it's really kosher, then it's the best thing that can happen.
I mean, it's non-Jewish authors. You know, not everything's 100%
kosher. Most of the non-Jewish books, 99.99%, are not kosher. Once in a blue moon you find a goyish book, even though it's general knowledge that it's kosher. I'll give you an example. Even if it's about science, they present facts that are wrong, that contradicts the Torah. They claim the world is billions of years old. They claim all kinds of things that is against the Torah. It's kfirah. Some of them say that we came from the monkey, all kinds of things. You gotta be careful. My children one time watched a tape about nature, and the guy was saying, 300 million years ago, when the earth shifted from that side to that, so my kids made him a name. Hey, mommy, we want to watch Mr. Million. Why? Because we right away say, hey, that's a mistake. He's not saying the truth. And then I decide, say, you know what, too much of a risk. But since until today, they call him, that guy, Mr. Million. Right? Well, this is the thing they remember from that.
So library books are good or not good?
They're good, depend if they're kosher. What, but library good from the yeshiva, from the school?
No.
From general? Jewish, why not Jewish books? There's a lot of good Jewish books, a lot of them.
My kids say that all the Jewish books are boring.
Gotta be careful with that. You have time to read their books before you let them read? You know that this book describes romance between guys and girls from very young age. He loved her, she loved him, she smiled to him. Start to change the way of thinking about life. And then the daughter comes to you and says, I want to go. My friend has a friend, he has a birthday party. She invited me, and you don't know where it comes from. When you're going to yeshiva and you want to go to a boyfriend of your friend, she has a birthday, where does it come from? These books. You gotta be very careful. Yes.
Trained to go to work at that profession, and the girls have the children. Today, boys become talmidei chachamim, and some yeshivas pay them a stipend, and some don't. Then they get married, and they have their own children. And not every boy has an in-law or a parent at home. This is a problem I see.
Yeah, well, I have to agree that not all the religious Jews meant to sit and learn after they get married all their life. Some people have to do other things in life. It's not a problem to let the children learn to make a living with some kind of things that they have, a talent. One can be sofer, one can be, maybe can play some music in parties and make some in weddings. It's not a problem. If they do it in a kosher way, it's no problem. I agree with you. Some of but if somebody wants to sit and learn,
yes.
Not because he wants his in-laws to support him, but he really wants to sit and learn, it's a crime to prevent from them to learn. Yes, people who don't learn and they pretend they learn because the in-laws gonna support them for 5 years, it's a crime to let them go to learn, because it's nonsense. They're not learning really. They're just taking advantage on someone. But someone who really likes to learn, or learn serious, or come on time, and really loves the Torah, it's a very big crime to force him or to influence him to leave yeshiva to go to work. The same way like all the Jews are supported from the time of Avraham Avinu until today. Anybody starve to death? Nobody. Everything will be fine. Don't, we are not supporting our children. They do not make a living. It's all come from Hashem. If a person learns, kol amkabel al atzmo ol Torah ma'avirim mimenu ol derech eretz. Hashem will supply him with his needs, not with what his parents want him to have. With his needs, what he really needs to be a successful tzaddik and chacham. Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you very much.
We wanted everybody to thank Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said all the